everyone, and welcome to Pop Culture Rewind, Episode 3, I Want My MTV. I'm your host, Travis.
And I'm the sidekick, Chris.
And thank you once again for tuning in. If you haven't done so yet, you can find us everywhere, pretty much. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind. On Twitter, feel free to follow us at Twitter at, what's our handle there?
It's popculturerwnd for Rewind.
Yeah.
We needed two more spaces and we couldn't get it.
Nah, bastards.
No.
Yeah, I'm not good with that Twitter stuff.
Nah, me neither.
Half the tweets on there that aren't for me, either from my wife or if you're going to do anything. So
when it first came out, I was using the word twat for like 20, for a couple of days. People were looking at me funny.
That's why you got banned.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. If you have any suggestions for us for any upcoming episodes, if you want us to talk about anything in particular, you can also reach out through email, popculturerewind@gmail.com. Thanks again to everybody that has been tuning in. We do appreciate any listeners that are tuning in for the first time. Thank you. Tell your friends about us. Also, you can find us on iTunes. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. And hit the subscribe button. We appreciate it.
This week the logo is Back to the Future font, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I try to mess around with every so often just to get the vibe of hey, these guys are always onto something.
Yeah. Very nice.
I might be like 2 decades behind, but I'm on.
That's the purpose of the podcast, though.
Yeah. Pop Culture Rewind.
Yeah.
See how it goes there.
Yeah.
All right. So, how was your week?
It was okay.
Yeah? Anything? Anything going on?
Nothing in particular.
Yeah.
Nothing that stands out.
Yeah. You know what I try to do?
Uh-oh.
I tried to watch MTV's Video Music Awards.
Do tell.
Or the VMAs.
The VMAs. Yes, Jim Carrey stole my bit.
Yeah, he did.
The bastard.
This was the first time I tried to watch the VMAs in well over a decade, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, I've given up on like current music trends a long time ago. Once it got for me, it just seems like it got too poppy, you know. And it's like where's the rock? It's all pop and R&B and hip hop. Yeah. I guess it's because we're in Texas, and if you turn on the radio station in Texas, well, excuse me, if you turn on the radio station in Houston,
yeah,
you have the Buzz 94.5 the Buzz, which is alternative rock, quote unquote. But then you have what? How many?
Mix 96.5, 104 KRBE, Sunny 99.1, Hot 95.7. For the most part, they dazzle in any other songs from back in the day or other different genres for them to stand out, but they play the same shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. And if anybody that's happened to be listening is in control of what goes on the airwaves here in Houston, please.
Clear Channel. Anybody from Clear Channel?
Yeah, please. Help us out. I get jealous of people over in Austin and Dallas. They get these actual
San Antonio.
Yeah, they get actual rock stations.
99.5 Kiss in San Antonio. Yeah. As soon as I drive into Seguin, unplug the iPod, listen to 99.5 Kiss because they play all kinds of rock.
Getting back to the VMAs.
Your highlight. What was the one thing that you liked, if there was anything at all that you liked?
Oh, God. This might be easier if you say it, because I think we like the same thing. I don't know. I don't even know half these people's names.
Yeah, you were remarking 5 minutes in. Oh, yeah, I remember Snoop Dogg. Who's the white bitch that's next to him? Oh, wait a minute.
That's Gwen Stefani? Really? Man, what happened to her? She got.
It's called Father Time.
Oh, yeah.
Father Time, hey. Bitch slap.
Hey. She still looks good, though. She's still Gwen Stefani. Mm-hmm. All right. No doubt. See what I did there?
Yeah, I got
see
you.
There?
I
okay.
Got you.
As far as like what performances, things like that.
Yeah.
There's only one like eye-catching, sounded really good vibe to it. It was like a whole, I don't want to say medley, but it was like three different performances. This is the opening act.
You like the opening act?
Not the full thing. No.
Okay.
There was in the middle.
Okay.
In the middle of the opening act.
We've been very rock heavy in the beginning of this episode, but I digress.
Well, there's no rock on this show. Where is rock on the VMAs?
I try to listen to as much of everything as I can, notwithstanding country.
Yeah, you're better than
this was the first time I heard Anaconda from Nicki Minaj. Mm. Guys know who Nicki Minaj is because she has an ass big enough for a license plate.
She has a really big ass.
God damn. Like, she beeps when she walks backwards. Yeah. Like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But, to her credit, this is the second time she's done this. She's had a song on a Pink Friday where she samples an old 80s song.
The hell is Pink Friday?
It's one of her CDs. Long story short,
you gotta slow down for me, man.
She samples old songs. So basically, Anaconda, she sampled
Sir Mix-a-Lot's
"Baby Got Back,"
which that makes sense. Knowing now what I know with her, that makes sense. That song makes sense.
Yeah, I the first time I heard that song, and I'm gonna download that bitch tonight or tomorrow. Musically, I liked it. It's very good. Visually, whoo. That performance, that middle performance. I don't know who the chick was in the beginning. I don't know who the chick was at the end. But I as soon as that silhouette came out, where it's like 24, 26, 47 measurements, like, that can only be one person.
Yeah. I think the reason I like it was because the beat of Baby Got Back.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that's just a good, I like it anyway, so.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I hear that beat. I hear the bass line. I can picture in my head Sir Mix-a-Lot's music video.
Oh, yeah.
With all the asses in it. And every time I watch that video, I have the same shit-eating dream that you're having right now.
Yeah, so the fact that
20 years later, Lord couldn't pull that off with her twiggy ass. The fat chick from Tammy, she couldn't pull that shit off. Nicki Minaj, it fits like a glove.
Wait, when you say Lord,
oh, the future of rock music.
We,
Lord.
We mentioned there's no rock on VMAs, but my God, excuse me, rock, best rock video of the year,
Lord, yeah, Royals,
huh? Say that again,
Royals. Yeah,
there was something you said earlier. It's before we started recording. If you're one person and you don't know how to play any instruments, you're not rock.
Yeah, you have to. The requirement to be in the rock category should be you own a set of drums, not a keyboard that goes. No, you need a real drum set.
I like the 1985 Casio tempo.
There's exceptions to the rule. It has to have a drum. It has to have a bass pedal, at least one bass pedal, some cymbals.
You have to know what a bass pedal is
and a snare. Bass pedal, cymbal, snare, and some other drums. Either that, or you can play a guitar. 4-string, 5-string, 6-string. Well,
now
bass.
You're getting out of control now. You want us to have drums and be able to play a guitar too?
Yeah. Two people can do it. The White Stripes have done it. Just two people. One person making the sounds, banging on things, and then
like,
the other person.
Like with instruments.
Yeah, with instruments. Oh. Yeah, instruments that you yourself do. You don't go into a studio with guys like me that know how to write lyrics out, and then another guy that knows how to press keyboard buttons to make sounds that generate.
There's like software for that, man. You can just. No. But you can.
Doesn't cut it.
But,
no.
But that gets you rock.
Not real.
But she just won Rock Video of the Year. She's
because that shit was catchy. You put that over a good. You put that over a good guitar riff and some double bass. That'll get you something.
I would like to hear a
That'll
rock
get you on Headbangers Ball.
Ricky Reichman interviewing you?
Yes.
See, yeah, today's music scene, I don't know. When I was watching the VMAs, I think I told you something. I said I feel like a crabby old man who
trying to be cool.
Trying to be hip and cool. And I didn't know what the hell was going on this whole 2.5 hours. I said, who's that? Who's this?
That was pretty much me my entire married life.
I'm sorry.
It's like, who's Justin Bieber? Oh, wait, no, it's not an animal? Oh, it's a kid. Wait, from Canada? And we're supposed to like him. Is he related to Bret Hart? Fuck this guy.
People still say that. How about that?
Yeah.
No, but MTV has changed over the years. You know, it's... I want to say it used to be good. It's been around, I believe, 1981.
Yes.
I was 1 year old. 1 year old when MTV hit.
You already the crossed the year mark.
Yes, the moon landing.
Yeah.
No, not even one, because it was January 1st, 1981.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even born yet. I was born 8 months later.
I was going to say if it was 9 months later. There you go. Someone marked out that night.
Yeah. In celebration.
But, you know, as far as for me growing up in the 80s, MTV was, that was pop culture and that was everywhere. And
if you had cable, you had MTV.
Yeah. I'm the youngest of six. I actually lived, for the most part of my childhood, I lived with my two older sisters. Mm-hmm. And they were 6 and 10 years older than me. So they were MTV.
They were right on the cusp.
Yeah. And
target audience at the time.
Exactly, yeah. And I, you know, just being a kid, you know, if they were watching it and I was there, if they were babysitting me or whatever the case, guess what? I'm watching MTV. So I wasn't like into MTV, but, or the music scene or anything, but it's in my head, you know? It's pop culture. It's what was everybody was dressing as. It was music. It was on TV. Just music in general, it was more poppy back then in the 80s. You mentioned a radio station before, 104, KRBE. That used to be like the end-all, be-all music station and in the Houston area. So with that, I got a lot of that sense from like I said, just growing up and being at a household and everything. And I do remember my mother hating MTV, not wanting my sisters to watch MTV. So naturally, the only time it was on is when the parents were away. So we knew that was, like, I knew that was bad. You know, you shouldn't be watching it because, you know, mother said don't listen to it or don't watch it. So it had that sense of, I don't want to say being dangerous or anything like that, or, you know, bad for you or anything like that. But, you know, when mama says don't watch it and you're going around singing or watching it, you're not supposed to. It had a cult-like, I think, in our household, I guess. I don't know. But I started getting into MTV when I was getting in my teens. That was probably 91, 92. The first VMAs I, like, was waiting to watch, you know, in anticipation.
And you understood what it was about.
With 1992.
Ooh.
Guess who was on the show? It was one of the performances. A young band called Nirvana.
I know where you're going with this. I remember this performance.
Yeah. Going back and watching and finding out what happened behind the scenes and everything, it's kind of funny. They wanted to play Rape Me. Networks, for whatever reason, didn't want them singing Rape Me on network TV. You know? So they were trying to compromise. You know, they wanted them to play Smells Like Teen Spirit. Obviously. But they didn't want to do it. Nirvana has never been one to
follow the trend.
Exactly, yeah. So they compromised. They said, then the network was saying, okay, well, you can watch, you can either play Smells Like Teen Spirit or Luthien.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, they'll go with Luthien. So when the show airs live, it kicks on. First riff you hear, rape me! And then it stops. And then they go into Luthien. So that was just classic Nirvana, Kurt Cobain. And then, of course, later on in that show was another, I guess, epic performance, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, November Rain with Elton John.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... So that was my introduction to the VMAs and the music scene and everything. I was kind of into it, like, right before that, you know? I just recently got... It's funny. You're going to laugh at this. I knew of Guns N' Roses... Appetite for Destruction. It was every Welcome to the Jungle. I mean, God, how can you?
Out of Mind.
Yeah, how can you not be in that era and not know those songs, right?
Yeah.
But to me, it was just rock music. It wasn't. I didn't separate them as an actual special band or anything like that. You know, it was just another song on the radio. You know, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Oh yeah, I love that Guns N' Roses song.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what got me. Because I was a huge fan of Terminator when that movie came out. And when Guns N' Roses was all over that track, you can hear it in a few scenes, actually.
Yeah.
That's what really got me.
The chase scene with the before the chase scene with the bike starts?
Yeah. That was me saying, I got to get into this band. And that's when I went back and really got into Guns N' Roses. And of course, there were some other things going on, too. Metallica, the Black Album.
Oh.
You know, yeah. that was my introduction to Metallica.
Yeah, I remember vividly, even before then, being young and wondering why my sister liked all these bands, these like pop rock bands with like hair, with like all this poofy hair, guys with poofy hair, you know. And then all of a sudden, doom 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 doom, Black and White, mm-hmm. the fan mm-hmm. going above the light, so you can see like the blades going yeah. as it spins, like a war documentary, double bass pedals, heavy riffs.
Oh god, this man, those drums.
Oof. I caution to say that half from the part where he repeats the chorus for the third time all the way to the end of the song where it breaks into the bridge with the double bass and the lyrics and the solo, I caution to say that's probably the best piece of like metal I've ever heard. Because everything, like Master of Puppets, Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, that like, because when you're trying, that's how you stand out, especially when that's the new outlet, everyone wants to get on the outlet, so everybody's making videos.
Right.
So like, I remember being young, because they would repeat some of the old videos after a while,
right,
like,
three or four
years later, to fill holes. So I remember the animation / live vibe from Take On Me from A-ha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I remember...
Yeah, some of these early music
zombie
videos.
Zombie monsters in Secretization dancing. Thriller from Michael Jackson.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you know? Thriller. Oh, I got to talk about Thriller, because that was... I was a kid. I mean, that was 84, 85 when that came out? Yeah. I was 5 years old. That scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I had... When they start busting in the house at the end... Dude, forget about it. I lost my shit. I got out of there. But goddamn it, that wasn't a good song. You know? Just anything that Michael Jackson touched in 1985, that Thriller CD.
80s?
Or yeah. Album.
Like, anything. Like, Thriller, Bad, from Michael Jackson?
Well, that was later on. But, you know, Beat It, Billie Jean, of course, Thriller.
Because those stand out.
Yeah.
And then you see all this different stuff. You see all this stuff that's in the same vein, and then... Pow, right in the kisser. So then 91 rolls in, Enter Sandman, Black Album, that music video. It's like, I can't even describe it. It's like, I can't say it's like being on acid, because
So you knew about Metallica before the Black Album?
Right? Yeah.
Okay. So you have a little more experience.
I didn't understand it. I just knew that was different. I want to like that. So when the Black Album came out, in that video where the dude laying in bed gets run over by the bed gets run over by that Peterbilt truck. Oh crap! My dad being a truck driver, that stuck with me. I was like, I better not get a lie. This motherfucker will run me over in my sleep.
Did your dad watch? He's like, you see that, son?
Oh god! No. If he would have, I would have ran, just like that boy.
That's
I would
be in that video.
I would have waited.
That's all he had to say. That's me in the video. I'm driving the truck.
Oh shit, man.
You mess up in school, that's you.
Yeah. Between that and the Terminator chase scene, I was afraid of my dad's life.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, you know, I say good as it's subjective, because we grew up in it, you know. We mentioned Michael Jackson. You know, there was, when we say pop culture back in the 80s, I mean, Cyndi Lauper, ZZ Top, Van Halen, David Lee Roth when they split.
Yeah.
And California Girls, David Lee Roth. You mentioned A-ha, you know, NXX, NXX.
NSX. NXS.
Those fuckers, yeah. U2, Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA.
Yeah.
Run DMC, when they revitalized hip-hop the mainstream with him Aerosmith. And Aerosmith. And you know what? For Aerosmith... I really got into Aerosmith again in the 90s, mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
The CD with Crying and had a cow on the front cover.
I don't remember it.
Anyway.
We don't want to cheat and go on our phones and use Wikipedia, but we know what we know.
Okay, so I got into Aerosmith in the mid-90s. Uh-huh. Okay. That's when I really got into them, but I knew of them from Run DMC. I think that's what kind of revitalized Aerosmith too, and I consider... Aerosmith an 80s and 90s band. I don't consider them 70s rock or anything like that. Are you the same way? Or?
Yeah, I don't consider them 70s at all. Like, other than Dream On.
Dream On. I was about to say
Dream On. I know of Aerosmith stuff of like Crying, Jane's Got a Gun, Crazy, And then some of the current stuff that happened later on after that, like Fall in Love is Hard on the Knees and Hole in the Soul. But yeah, I don't think of Aerosmith as the 70s at all. I think of them as 80s. MTV did that to me. Yeah. Not,
and I think that's I think I'm the same way on that. Yeah. You know, Bon Jovi was big. Peter Gabriel was big. Sledgehammer, yeah. Big
time. Like, I wasn't into Black Sabbath because that was 70s. I was into Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train.
There you go. There you go. You okay. Know?
So yeah. That's how I separated between the two.
You know, I started watching MTV, like I said, in the early 90s, 92, 91, 92. That's where I started getting into it. When did you start watching MTV?
I'm literally in the same boat as you because I had a sister that was 7 years older. Mm-hmm. So I sat with her. Like, I was watching it with her because she was older and she had the control and I couldn't say.
But were you, like, into it or you were just kind of watching it on TV?
I think when I started getting into it, like, I'm cognizant of what I liked in the 90s.
Me too. I'm the same way.
Like, I saw the Metallica video when I was younger, and I was aware of what it was, but I didn't really get everything or understand it all until later on.
Like, when we talk about MTV, and, you know, MTV was known for a long time for their on-air personalities. You know, they had, if you remember, the original VJs. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, you know, before my time. I know of them. And like I said, with my older sisters, I knew of them, but yeah. They're not my generation for that particular aspect of it.
Yeah.
But for me, growing up as a teenager, you know, I'm more used to. I remember when, like, Daisy Fuentes, Dan Cortez, Bill Bellamy, Carson Daisy Daly. Fuentes. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Do you remember Karen Duffy?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, the name. Yeah, it's just Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she still has a radio station. She has a radio show in LA.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's where I was introduced to Pauly Shore. Well, it was either that or Encino Man.
No, Pauly Shore was MTV, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Towards the later half of the 90s, there was one VJ on there. I don't know why I remember him, but his name was Simon Rex.
Don't remember.
No, him. Yeah, okay. And I think my earliest VJ that I remember is probably Downtown Julie Brown.
The black chick.
Oof. With the British accent, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because she would host a show. I can't remember the name of the show, but it was like a dance. It was like a... they would be dancing in the...
Was it MTV Raps? Yo MTV Raps?
No. No, dude. Yo MTV Raps, that was Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. Not the Dr. Dre. It was the fat Dr. Yeah. Dre. But yeah, man, some of the stuff that they had, some of the programming they had on there, Remote Control, do you remember that game show?
Oh, I love that. the booths are all like easy chair recliners.
Yeah, they're recliners.
They got popcorns and shit, like, and they had the control. Oh, God.
Wasn't it because it was like the host was, it was in his basement.
Yeah.
And he wanted to create his own game show. So that's why the whole stage was set up like a big fucking basement.
Yeah.
And you can hear his mom would chime in, like, in the loudspeaker. Yeah. So it was very, for that time, forget about it, dude. Yeah, that was way ahead of his time. And you had people like, I remember Adam Sandler was probably the biggest, Adam Sandler and Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
Those two, I remember vividly. They were on that show a lot. For those who, you know, Colin Quinn, he went on to Saturday Night Live. Pretty funny dude. Yeah, he was the sidekick on the show.
He was a sidekick.
Yeah. So, Remote Control, forget about it. That was, you didn't see shows like that back in the day, you know. There was another show towards, I'm gonna miss, like, some of these. So, if listeners, if y'all are, like, yelling at me right now because I'm forgetting something, just go on to, you know, Facebook or Twitter.
And, remind us because we're old in our age.
Hey, dummies, you forgot this show. And just let us know when we'll correct ourselves. or not. Probably not. do you remember Singled Out?
Yes! Jenna McCarthy! Son of a Man, I was a kid and I learned what an erection was when I saw Jenna McCarthy.
Woohoo! Yes.
Man.
Yeah, she got me through my teen years.
And she always wore red. I remember her vividly wearing red a lot. Oh.
Between her and Daisy Fuentes.
Oh.
Funny thing about Singled Out, who'd have thunk that Chris Hardwick would go from that show to still be relevant to today?
Yeah.
I mean, more so now than he was back then.
Yeah.
You know, he's all over the place. You know,
literally.
Yeah. No kidding.
You can't watch an episode of Doctor Who without seeing his face somewhere.
You know, I missed the premiere of Doctor Who. Well, I wasn't going to watch it anyway. But, you know, the I did hear a lot of complaining about that on Facebook about, okay, it's like, okay, people, we get it.
He's a geek.
Yeah. Leave us. Yeah, go away. Go away for 5 minutes. Let us enjoy something.
Chris Hardwick presents Doctor Who. Sponsored by Chris Hardwick.
And Nerdist. So we had what? We had Remote Control, UMTV Raps, Singled Out, Headbangers Ball. When I think Headbangers Ball, one DJ in particular, Ricky Rackman.
Yes.
I know they had a few hosts during the time frame, Headbangers Ball, but yeah, Ricky Rackman. As soon as you say Headbangers Ball, that's the name that I associate that with.
I hear Headbangers Ball, I think Metallica, Megadeth, Pantera.
Yes. The only time you can actually watch those.
In a group.
Yes.
Yeah, because they were... Because that's what... The other thing I liked about MTV back in the day was that you can get Madonna and then Green Day.
Yeah.
And then Michael Jackson. And then Metallica. And then Stone Temple Pilots. And then Sarah McLachlan. And
if
then...
If you chose, yes.
Yeah. Everything. Like, it's random. And then... But Headbangers Ball... Turned it on, you knew what you were going to get. You were going to break your neck. You're going to bleed your ears. You were not going to get any sleep because they showed that shit at night.
That ran for quite a few years, a lot of years. How often did you actually watch that show?
Every other Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And even then, like recently, not too recently, but before they went strictly shows and not videos,
mm-hmm.
they brought back Headbangers Ball for a while. I think it was like 3 years ago.
You know, I know this isn't... well, this kind of relates to this, but on VH1 Classics, they have a TV show called That Metal Show.
Yes.
You ever watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Trunk?
Yeah.
That's kind of what... It kind of is a flashback of what Headbangers Ball and 120 Minutes?
Yeah.
Was another one where it was like rock metal
exactly.
and everything, like Green Day.
120 Minutes was the lead-in to Headbangers Ball, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ha-ha! Damn, I remember something. Oh, wow. Yeah, so they actually had shows like dedicated to certain genres. And that was... Even if they had something like that nowadays, you know? But they like totally gave up on...
Because even back then, people back then must have known pop was the main thing.
Right.
But they made the effort to give the minority groups a chance. And not like races, but minority as in rap wasn't that huge.
Subgenres and things
so
like that.
So they got UMTV Raps. You know, rock wasn't like prominent as much as it could have been. Not like hair, like they tried to find that transition from hair metal to rock. So that's when 120 Minutes, you got Green Day, Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden. And then when you wanted to get into the heavy stuff, you know, that's when you got Headbangers Ball.
And then they would do other shows, MTV Unplugged.
I love that. Fucking Bruce Springsteen was the only one that broke the rule.
Which
Bruce Springsteen refused to do an unplugged show, so they called it MTV Plugged with Bruce Springsteen doing a live
in the same studio. Yeah.
Like it was still intimate,
yeah,
but it wasn't acoustics. Everything was still electric.
Now that you mention that, I do remember that. Yeah, because they made a deal with the logo. They edited it out
a little bit. Yeah, nothing will erase my mind of Nirvana's unplugged performance. For anyone that doubted the musical ability. It's one thing to just be like loud and crunchy guitars and lyrics that don't make sense unless you're reading them upside down and grungy hair and torn pants and smelling like BO. That's one thing. But when you strip it down to what they did and put it on tape and captivate you the way they did from start to finish on that concert, that pretty much said, you know what? They're a big fucking deal.
There's two things that I always think back to when I think of Unplugged. First one, Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
That is unplugged for me.
That's the performance.
Exactly. I have that on DVD.
I have it on CD.
I trump you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other one, when Eric Clapton, he did Tears from Heaven. That was on the top charts for a long time. I mean, that was intense.
I can still get flashbacks to that now.
Yeah. So, yeah, Unplugged was... And all this was that we're talking about was ahead of its time. You know, they were groundbreakers. Case in point, Real World.
Yeah.
As much as if you liked it or didn't like it or never watched it.
Back then, that's when reality TV was
We didn't know what reality TV was back then. But they, like I said, they were ahead of their time. Did you, I mean, were you an avid watcher of Real World, or did you care about it?
I didn't really understand the whole reality TV show concept of them just living there. I liked Road Rules because there were competitions within them for them to get to, like, team builder exercises to get from point A to point B. And again, my dad being a trucker, I followed the map. I had an atlas, and I knew where they were going. And it was more interactive for me to get into it.
Yeah.
So I was a fan of Road Rules. And then when they started doing the challenges back then, Real World versus Road Rules, I loved watching that shit.
We kind of covered the music aspect of MTV, but during the mid-90s, they had a lot of breakout success in another field, animation. That's Chris trying to do the Beavis and Butthead intro.
Yep.
So just picture that. Picture what it actually sounds like in your head.
MTV gave us Mike Judge.
Yes. Yeah. Man, there were so many good animation, just cartoons just in general, that came out of MTV. Do you remember they started off in blocks. Like they had a show which had shorts in it.
Yeah.
I think Liquid TV.
I think that's what.
Remember the intro for Liquid TV? Yeah. It had the little bottle, and it had. I remember it had the weird font and everything, and on the bottom of the screen it was like a blue back.
It looked like a lava lamp thing going on.
And I remember it was like two little antennas like bouncing up and down like it was underwater. I don't know why I remember that theme song, the intro, so well, but from Liquid TV came Aeon Flux.
Yes.
Of course, people probably know the movie with
Charlize Theron.
Yeah. But the animation, I've always loved that animation.
That was ahead of its time.
Definitely.
I would think so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Just the intro of that, when it got its own show, like the close up, the fly would land on the face, you know, like, and roll over our eye, and her eye would flick up. Yeah. Stuff like that you didn't see, you know?
Yeah.
But there was Aeon Flux. Beavis and Butthead did come out of Liquid TV as a little short. Frog Baseball?
Yes.
There we go. That's all I had to say is Frog Baseball. Do you remember before it went to another network, Ren and Stimpy?
Yes. Holy crap. Before Nickelodeon took it.
Was it before Nickelodeon or after Nickelodeon?
I think...
Actually, no, it might have been after, because I think it got too crazy for Nickelodeon, and I think it went to MTV.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken on that. Listeners, you might have to correct me on that one. But I know it was on Nickelodeon and
MTV. Yeah.
But it was more of a better fit for MTV, I think.
Yeah.
So we had that. There was a show and I asked you about this earlier before we started recording. You weren't too for sure about it, but MTV Oddities. That was a late night. I think it was like Saturday night block of where they alternate the shows. It was The Head and Max. Of course, Max was based on the Image comic books, comic book series, which was fantastic. Actually, I still have the series.
Man, what don't you have?
I have it. I recorded off of I recorded right off the airings, and then recently I got the VHS and I dubbed it onto. I copied it onto a disc. I actually have it on CD or DVD. And The Head, that was a weird show. I don't know. He had like a huge ass head, and it would like split open, and like an alien would come out of the head. It was messed up. But hey, it was Oddity. You know, the show was called Oddity. So hey, there you go. Oh, one other kind of. I think success they had was Celebrity Deathmatch.
I loved Celebrity Deathmatch.
That was a bit later in the 90s, but
I watched that every week.
Yeah.
They had Mariah Carey versus Jim Carrey, and then they had Arnold Schwarzenegger against Sylvester Stallone. They had weird, like being a wrestling fan, I was like, why are these two fighting? And they would set up the vignettes of why.
It made perfect sense.
It made perfect sense, man. And then, of course, when Steve Austin was starting to guest host and they brought in The Undertaker and Vince McMahon, for being a wrestling fan that I am, I was just, like, sold.
Yeah. Well, of course, back, you know, that came out in 98, 99. That was when the height of wrestling hit its resurgence.
But I love the claymation.
Yeah.
Like, something that, like, again, MTV was quick to try something different out there. The Beavis and Butthead humor. The Ren and Stimpy animation. The Aeon Flux animation. The claymation with Celebrity Deathmatch. I don't remember seeing any claymation shows anywhere at that time before Celebrity Deathmatch came on.
Well, there were some out there. I mean, Gumby. But
but that's old school.
That's what I'm saying. This was the first one in Tints that was taken live people, that live personalities that we knew, put them in clay form. You can even say that was a precursor to Robot Chicken.
Yes.
In a way. Mm-hmm. In a way.
Were you a big fan of Daria?
Yeah.
Six Sad World.
Beavis and Butthead, that's funny you should say that, because Beavis and Butthead was not only for its humor and everything, but the transition when they're watching music videos.
Oh, yes.
The humor they had during the Mystery Science 3 to 3000 aspect of, those, of the humor, the jokes they were
like,
saying.
Like, literally, they'll say, oh, this sucks, what else is on? The next video, something completely different. Or they'd be like, ooh, what is this? Like, they'll just see a chick, and they'll, like, and the song sucks, but they're staring at the chick, so we get to see the whole video.
Right, yeah. Things like that, it was fun.
Was it Jars of Clay where they did little pig, let me in.
Yeah.
By the hair, my chin. Dude, you just feel some funny, just, like, rocking out, sitting on the couch, and they're, like, driving feet. Oh, memories, man.
And the sad thing is, on the, like any DVD releases of Beavis and Butthead, Beavis and Butthead and Daria, they finally released Daria on DVD, but it's all copyrighted music and they can't release those shows on there. And it's like, man, what's the point? Yeah. It is what it is. I know they brought back Beavis and Butthead a couple years ago, and it is, I don't know, it just wasn't the same. And the humor,
I think that it was good for its time, but I'm not sure if
you can't place him in today's society.
Yeah,
I don't think.
It's not as edgy because we're all used to it. Like, our society's gone to the crapper.
Like, we are Beavis and Butthead.
Like, I remember watching Madonna at a Video Music Awards doing Like a Virgin. I think it was Like a Virgin in a wedding dress.
Right.
And she's, like, rolling around on the floor.
Right.
And everyone was flipping the shit about it. It's like, oh my God, this is not safe for kids. And then we're watching the MTV Music Awards for this year. And, like, Nicki Minaj is getting fucked by one of her dancers. And, like, everybody in the crowd's like, ah! I want to get fucked, too! Like, no. Like, yeah, like, that doesn't fit anymore. Like, it's tame compared to the shit now.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, what Beavis and Butthead was, like, the starting line, the finish line ended up being Jackass.
Yeah.
Because Jackass pushed the envelope. You saw nothing but crazy shit, to where Beavis and Butthead's humor was, like, Jackass was like, oh.
You know, I mentioned Real World. That was like the launching point, or it was ahead of its time of reality shows.
Yeah.
Jackass from MTV was another show that was, that started a whole trend.
Yeah.
Not a very good trend.
Well, not a very safe trend. Needless to say, I've done a couple of those stunts.
That I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember being at Studiowood Park, finding the nice little dip going down, and I put some, some fireworks on my four-wheeler.
Do we need to put a disclaimer on this before you say
on
this?
On my roller skates. And I went down, and they were all sparkling and shit. And then as soon as they started going off, they scared the hell out of me. So both my feet, like, flipped up, and I went, bam, hit the back of the head. Remember, though, I'm going down an incline. So I, like, had the world's most massive wedgie sliding down the second half of that incline because I was riding on my ass. Needless to say, I had a fucking blast. Not to mention, I don't know how many shopping carts I got into that I was pushed onto the curb and fell off into the bushes. Oh,
that's what happened to you.
Yeah. Trust me, I never ate any outdoor yellow snow cones, though. Ever.
You sure?
I hope so.
Your memory's a little foggy because of all the head bumps, right?
I know, right? It was like, I didn't realize snow cones taste like asparagus. Like, what's that smell? Doesn't smell like lemon. Like, I guess.
So you take Real World, combine it with Jackass. I say you got Osbournes.
Yes!
Is that an accurate comment?
Man, out of all the reality TV families, they're still together. Every single one has failed. Yet that one still survives.
Maybe because they're used to all the BS before the camera started rolling.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to be fake, I don't think.
Oh, hell no.
Where all these other people, they try to come up with different scenarios and different this and that to try to fill up a TV show. They let the cameras roll, and Ozzy was Ozzy. There you go.
Whatever was left of Ozzy. Like, it's funny. It's funny, the guy from Black Sabbath that bit the head off a bird is struggling to walk, and the wife is like, oh, you fresh, and all this. It's hilarious.
One of my favorite moments from the whole show...
Was it Ozzy getting mad at the neighbor for throwing something over the fence, and they're going back and forth with, like,
that's
yard
number two.
War?
That's segment number two.
Okay.
My number one favorite moment of Osbournes is him and Sharon are trying to they're setting up an act he's about to do, a performance he's about to do, and they call in to have like bubbles, and they throw in like bubbles start coming out everywhere, and Ozzy's got this confused look on his face like, I'm the Prince of fucking Darkness. I can't have fucking bubbles.
I remember that. Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to do an Ozzy impression, but that's what he was saying. And
hey! No, it's good. I'm not even going to try to do it either.
But that's my one takeaway from the Osworms on that. But
oh, my God. It's hilarious.
But from all the TV shows, you know, you can see a transition. It was all music. Even their TV shows were related to music.
Yeah, the soundtracks to a lot of the stuff like Daria and Ren and Stimpy, and of course the splicing of the videos during
Yeah.
Us and
Bird. It all had a connection to music. Yeah. And then like towards later 90s, I think the most you got music-wise out of was TRL with Carson Daly.
Yeah, that kept me on the MTV.
That's it, pretty much. And yeah. Then after that you started bringing in like other shows that weren't really...
Yeah, but that was like the truest barometer for me on what was good in music. Because fan voted.
True.
Yeah. And back in the day, there wasn't no rigging. So like
again, that was head of the
time. So like 1 week, Britney Spears, Oops, I Did It Again is number one. The next week, NSYNC, Bye 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 is number one. And then the next week, holy fuck, Korn is number one. What the fuck is Korn? And then the week after that, what's this Limp Bizkit shit? Do they sell this at the bakery? I need to know about this. Like, they didn't do favorites. The Aerosmith was up there.
Yeah, that's
Metallica
true.
Was on the countdown right. Before. Like, if it was good, whether you were a fan of the music or not, it got votes. And if you were on that show, you were legitimate. There were so many people that got their start. Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew who Eminem was. They're like, oh, that's the dude next to the Skittles bar. No. Eminem's a rapper. TRL made him. He name drops TRL specifically in a lot right. of the songs, absolutely. Even up to now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Korn, another one. Limp Bizkit, another one. Blink-182.
Yeah.
That's another band that was like on top. Where they shot the music video where they mimicked all the like pop music videos,
all the bad things,
all the small things, yeah. Like everything. They if it was good, didn't matter what genre it was from, and that's again, where I got music.
And again,
from.
That was the time when internet was around,
but not prominent
because there was no Wi-Fi, there was no phones. There was beep, 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 exactly. Yeah. So shit, we went through. So I mean. It was cutting edge at the time, but now you look back at that, you're like, God damn, y'all had that connection.
Yeah.
y'all had a dial-up. What does dial-up mean? What do you mean by dial-up?
Apparently, there's still 25 million people that use AOL.
You know, it's funny you say that, because at work, when I'm setting up accounts and things, I ask for an email address. You know what I mean? I get a lot of people that say such-and-such at AOL.com, and I just want to look at them like, what the... WTF, man. What the... What do you do with AOL? Who has an AOL? Do you still have a MySpace account, too? I mean, what... What are you doing over here?
Jeez. Software 8.0?
Yeah.
Where's AOL at now? Like 28.7? I don't know.
So with the transition, it started transitioning over to the TV shows, and music seemed to be taking a backseat to TV shows, and now it's like all TV shows. There's no music on music television.
If anything, the late night shift where it's like 2 or 3 hours at like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and even then, if there's like a
Sunday morning,
or if there's a Jersey Shore marathon, you're fucked. You're watching that. Like
I'm not even no. We're not going to mention that show. No, not in this show.
That's the only remark I'm making. But then MTV dropped the ball, and that's where like video channels like Fuse came up.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, there's like a lot of on-demand channels where there's literally a channel on UVerse where they'll list 10 songs. Whichever one gets the most votes gets played next, and they replace that empty spot with a new video, okay. And whatever gets nice. The most vote, and that's continuous, and it's everything, like pop, rock, rap, whatever. That's where MTV. I think once TRL died out, I think that's when the shift started moving to reality television.
Reality TV came in, smartphones came in, Paris Hilton came in, and we started getting because we started getting like. Celebrities from reality shows, and I think that's when everything started falling to shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know when it started becoming that, where it's all just reality shows and
they barely play some music at all during it. Was it kind of they tried to take the tone of like Beavis and Butthead and Daria or all these other shows where in between you can hear songs. That one show with the Brady dude, I forget,
Yeah, I know you're talking about with Agent Curry. And
they would still play some kind of music, even though it wasn't music we liked. It wasn't a variety of things. It was just
poppy stuff.
Poppy stuff.
Yeah.
Teen Mom. Whenever somebody broke the bad news, or 16 and Preggers, they played the mellow song or the depressing song when they popped out of the vagina, and then after that, that's it.
There's like, so many shows that are on MTV that I have no... I know, I've heard the names of them, but why would I want to see 16 and Pregnant? You know, things like Teen Mom. Why would you even want to promote teen pregnancy? Right. You know what I'm saying? It's... I don't know. It's like they're trying to... And this could be me just being old. I don't know. But it's like they're... fan base was 15 and younger.
Yeah.
You know, where when MTV was out, it's your, I guess your teens and your early, in your 20s and things like that, but that's like, back then, there was no Facebook and social media and smartphones and Wi-Fi.
Instant. Nothing was instant.
Exactly. So it wasn't in your face all the time to nauseating effects.
Yeah.
Like we have nowadays. I think that's my issue with MTV, just in general, where it kind of died down to the point where maybe early 2000s, I started switching over to VH1.
Yeah.
Because early in the 80s and 90s, I really didn't have VH1. For our cable, for whatever reason, they didn't carry it. But then all of a sudden...
Even then, when TRL was around, it felt like VH1 was just a copycat of MTV that didn't have everything MTV had. VH1 didn't play Metallica. VH1 doesn't play a lot of the heavy stuff. VH1 didn't play a lot of rap. But now,
but they picked up a ball though.
Yeah, they picked it up very well. They're playing a little bit of everything now.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my first programming shows I ever watched off VH1.
Pop-up video.
Oh my god, yes!
I3, my friend.
We did not rehearse that.
Yes.
Pop-up video.
That was entertaining, I guess. That was interesting because again, back then there's no internet. There's no
Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Like Google.
So it was interesting to hear different facts and figures about certain how things were made and things like that. It's so antiquated now. Why would you want to watch something like that now? Pop-up video. Do you have any other thoughts on the declining trend of MTV or anything?
I just think it goes along with the times. I mean, MTV had to adapt. People weren't sitting around just to watch music videos anymore. When you have YouTube,
exactly.
You know, when you've got a smartphone where you can find whatever you want whenever you want it. I think they've gone too far to go back. Like, I think that other channels have proven that there's still a median, or there's still a channel that's open for people to accept music videos.
Mm-hmm.
But they're already too neck deep in all the stuff that they're doing now that it won't make sense to go back.
If they put, to your point, if they put on a programming block of music videos, it would be trendy. It would be to be poppy.
And they tried that when they brought back Headbangers Ball a few years ago. I remember vividly that there was a live performance of Probot with Dave Grohl on the drums doing a song from the Probot's CD. And they brought back Stone Sour and did a couple of they had like a block like late on Saturday night where they would show rock and metal videos again, and it just wasn't the same because I can't just watch Jersey Shore 1 minute with wallpaper goes shit faced it.
What did I say about mentioning that show?
Oh yeah, and then all of a sudden switch over to Megadeth,
yeah,
you know, and Anthrax and Slayer, you know, I can't, it just didn't fit. So like they already turned their back on it. There's no reason to turn around now, like so.
Yeah.
Which sucks because the one thing I liked the most about MTV, other than TRL, if anything was important, you had it on the 50-minute mark every hour, MTV News.
With Kurt Loder.
Oh, Kurt Loder.
That is the host of MTV News. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, he was the man. If it came out of his mouth, that shit was legit.
It was legit.
Yeah.
For me, what legitimized him was reporting the death of Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
I still remember that. I was in 8th grade when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was a somber day that day in the junior high school.
Yeah.
the little girls were...
Oh, man, yeah.
That was a crazy time. But yeah, there were so many things like that that was just... You had to watch it because you didn't have the internet. How many times have I said that? There was no... I don't think people understand nowadays.
Like, you would never know what happened if something important happened in Seattle or something happened in New York City when you're living in Houston.
Exactly.
Because local news didn't cover it unless they thought it was a big deal.
Unless it was national news.
Yeah. President Kennedy got shot? Yeah, every channel's showing it. Kurt Cobain blows his head off? Not every channel's going to show it.
Yeah.
But MTV was like right there.
For a lot of stuff. You know, just for pop culture stuff. You know, so...
Those were the days, man. Three favorite, just to round everything out, three favorite MTV Video Music Award moments. I think you mentioned already one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to say one of the first ones that pops in my head is November Rain by Guns N' Roses with Elton John, mm-hmm. just because that was probably my first one. Also, from that same show, Nirvana, uh-huh. Lithium. And there was one other one that I'm going to say that you actually told me about, because, again, at the time that it came out, I wasn't really watching MTV, so I totally missed it. Metallica. I'm probably stealing your thunder on this, but yes. Metallica came out and did a little medley.
Yeah, I showed you this clip a few weeks ago. There was a time where MTV was trying to get back some of the old stars that they were trying to revitalize them for their comebacks or to promote something new. Chris Rock was the host, and they were celebrating 20 years of MTV. So the performer was Metallica. They started off doing a little riff of Lenny Kravitz, Are You Gonna Go My Way? Then they broke out Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana. And then you could just hear Rob on the bass doing Seven Nation Army from White Stripes. And then, surprisingly to a lot of people, they broke out into Beat It from Michael Jackson. And then when the song finished, they did a little riff, a couple of notes of Enter Sandman. And then Chris Rock closed the show, and then Metallica closed the show with Frantic, Love Off of St. Anger. That was his first time back after Jason had left and James went into rehab. That's probably my favorite moment, not just because I'm a Metallica mark, but because they did a good job of... Well, they did a pretty good job, in my opinion, of covering some time. Like, it's hard. Like, I would have picked, like, some Bruce Springsteen, maybe some another obscure pop song, you know, or something else. But for the songs that they picked to fit them...
That's your number one.
That's my number one.
Two more.
My number two, going back to the theme of bringing back people for comebacks... Jimmy Fallon hosted an MTV award show, and he was dropping subtle hints, lyric hints, throughout the night. Just have a little
patience. Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
For the mystery closing performance, and it turned out to be Axl Rose coming back from hiatus after I don't know how many years, and I don't even remember the medley they did, because they did Welcome to the Jungle, they did Paradise City. I think they played a little snippet of a new song that ended up on that new CD that has Shackler's Revenge on it.
Did you like Chinese Democracy?
Yeah, Chinese Democracy. Two or three songs stood out, but that was when it came out then. I have it on my computer, but I haven't heard it in so long. I'm not tempted to go back.
Really? I got this. Yeah, I have the CD, and I listened to it. I was like...
Because they had one song on the radio.
It's hard to get through.
They had one song on the radio, and then they had another song that was exclusively on Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Wasn't a single.
I think it was Shackler's Revenge.
I got the CD because their performance. They were doing some riffs of their old classic stuff, and I was like, okay, they sound good. I want to get the next CD that comes out.
Yeah.
And I was
nothing like.
Yeah, I was sort of disappointed. I think everybody else was too. And plus, WTF happened to Axl Rose's face and his hair and his everything else when he came back. Man, he was like totally different, man.
I have no idea. A bucket head wearing a KFC bucket on top made up for that completely. And the nostalgia fact. And number three for me would probably be they had a Battle of the Bands at that time where like indie rock or something was starting to come up on the rise. We had the Hives performing Main Offender. And then right after that, on the same stage, the Hives had like this little mini stage set up on the front of the catwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Main Offender finished, the main stage had the Vines playing Get Free. Oh, those nice. Like 7 minutes of like pure, unadulterated, raw rock music on a show that had like rap and pop and R&B and all this other stuff, that stood out for me. Like they presented that well.
Do you have any honorable mentions? Because I do.
You know, they have this last one that we watched. They had that moment where they had the moment of silence for Mike Brown. And it reminded me of Snoop Dogg's performance of Murder Was the Case They Gave Me a couple years ago, where he was in the middle of a lawsuit. And he finished the song by saying,
right.
I'm innocent. And then, like, months later, he wound up being ruled innocent in that case.
See,
for that time... Even back then, when there were serious moments, they knew how to present it so where people could actually understand it and take something from it.
And that was the performance. He came in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
And then he stood up at the end. Yeah, that was a good performance. I forgot about that one, actually. Yeah, but there's some other good ones that I'm just gonna drop here.
Oh, and I don't know if it's a Video Music Award performance, but it was they did a medley for Notorious B.I.G. and then Sting came out when they did the remix of Every Breath You Take. I'll be missing you.
I think that was VMAs.
Yeah, and Faith. Yeah. And Faith.
That might have been. Evans. That might have been 97, 98, somewhere in there. When Puff Daddy came out with his
white suit.
Well, no, I was gonna say when Puff Daddy came out with this with his first single or his first CD. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, he had all those singles. That's what put him on the spot.
Yeah,
yeah. Some other ones. 96 was the first comeback reunion of Kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And they performed...
Outdoors,
it was
right?
On the Brooklyn Bridge, I think.
Yeah, yeah. With the big Kiss letters and the fireworks coming out. Yeah.
Since then, they've done different comebacks, but that was the first time they had come back.
Yeah.
Full makeup, the original band
that
members.
Was after they had that CD with Lick It Up where they didn't have the makeup,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. That's what killed them at first.
Yeah.
This was their first comeback, and that's what revitalized their careers.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Eminem, Real Slim Shady. When he was he started outside and he was walking in with all of the other other Slim Shady dudes on there. Yeah, that was pretty cool. There was I just thought of this whenever he mentioned, you know, 7 or 8 minutes of music, whatever. There was one, I think it was in 95. It was around the time that Michael Jackson was doing his history tour. And he came out, he did a 15-minute performance. The first 7 minutes or so is all like different songs. Like he was just doing very quick hits on a lot of different songs, and then he just stopped. He took a little breather, and thanking the fans and all that stuff, and then he closed off with "Dangerous," I think so. But it was a slower. It kind of changed. It was a different tempo, a different tone of the original one. So that was why it wasn't my top three or anything. But damn, 15 minutes of just performing. And you go back and watch that, dude, he's busting out all his classic stuff that he does. That, there was another Guns N' Roses performance. Their first one, Welcome to the Jungle, when it put them on the spot.
Yeah.
That was the 88. That was a cool one right there. Just because Welcome to the Jungle is just a badass song.
Hell yeah. As soon as you heard that opening riff,
yeah,
it's over.
But I'm sure there's some other ones. You know, we could have mentioned the well-known quote-unquote top 10 performances that everybody puts on a list, like you know, like the Britney Spears one or Madonna's, things like that, where those are big ones.
Those
that
are
come
commercial successes, exactly, as far as top 10, but that doesn't mean, oh my god, I'm a huge Britney and Madonna fan.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, like if a personal pick for me would be Linkin Park premiering, they did One Step Closer live, I think it was on 1999. And there's a break in the song before Chester starts screaming, where Mr. Han breaks down and he breaks down, starts scratching on the turntables. They had the Executioners as a guest, so there were 5 turntables, and each one had his little like turntable moment. And it like hearing that, being a young kid getting into Linkin Park, I was like, wow! it blew my mind.
Did you say being a young kid?
I was 18, 17.
That's not young, dude.
No? Not anymore. Young's like 8, 9.
Young comparatively now to what you are now.
Not to what I am. Because
we're old bastards.
We're old bastards, yeah.
So we've seen a lot of changes in MTV, just to kind of wrap this up here. You know, it's funny. It's funny to think back, like, is there anybody that's still relevant from the time that MTV started to today? You know, Madonna's been around forever. Michael Jackson, if he
was still alive, he'd probably be relevant now.
I can picture him busting out some kind of album like every so often, or a single here and there.
Yeah, Metallica's still around, but they're not relevant, not for a while.
You don't think they're relevant?
Outside the mainstream metal and rock audience, I don't think they're relevant.
Green
Sad
Day,
to say.
You know,
Green Day still is.
That's surprising to me. I don't know, because in the 90s they were just, you know, Dookie.
Yeah.
you know. So to see them, they're still American Idiot. That was I like that one.
That put them back. Dookie was good. Dookie was Dookie, obviously.
Yeah.
Insomniac showed that they had a rougher edge.
Mm-hmm.
Warning was a little bit of watering down phase, even though there's some really... The Warning was way ahead of its time.
Hmm.
Like, there's some good songs on there, like Macy's Day Parade and Waiting. But what American Idiot put them right back on the map, pretty much bigger than Dookie did.
So, one person that I'm just going to spotlight here that is, to my, in my opinion, is still relevant.
Please say who I think you're saying.
I'm going to say Weird Al Yankovic.
Fuck yes, dude.
That last, he just dropped that CD just, what, last month or?
Aluminum foil, foil.
Oh, man. And he had the most genius marketing strategy.
He made a, I think he made a music video for every song, right?
Eight. There was
eight of them?
Yeah.
And every week, boom, another one, boom, another one, boom. To where there's a petition to have them perform the Super Bowl this
yes!
year.
Yes!
To have Weird Al perform
the Super Bowl. People in 2014 are petitioning to have Weird Al perform the Super Bowl halftime.
And if the and if NFL has any common sense, that's an easy one to pull the hair trigger on. For anyone that doesn't know, Weird Al has to get approval from the original artist right. to do these covers. And some of his best songs are with are with some high profile names. So if you want to get Lady Gaga to help you do perform this way, or if you want to get Madonna to help you sing like a surgeon, you know, and do like an all-star performance of all these names, but you know, if they can find the humor in it to let them use their songs to do it, the fans will like it, you know, especially if they see the people they know. It's like, oh my god, that's Lady Gaga. Oh my god, that's Madonna. I like this guy. It works. Like, it can make it work.
Yeah. It would...
I know for a fact. Not for a fact, but I'm guessing. I'm making a logical guess.
Right, right.
He's done at least like 4 or 5 Michael Jackson songs in his career. In Weird Al's career. If he was still alive...
Eat It, Fat. There's a two that immediately yeah. came ahead. I'm sure there's one or two other ones. Yeah.
If he was still around, Michael would do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And to your point, if they were smart enough to do that, you would have an audience. If they're like me, they don't really watch the Super Bowl religiously.
Yeah.
So you'd have that audience coming in, plus you'd have the current trend. People want to watch, like, see Lady Gaga and things like that go to join them up.
Dude, even better if you get Dave Grohl on drums and Chris Novoselic on bass. Produce smells like Nirvana.
Shut up and take my money. I don't know if it isn't costing anything, but goddamn it, I'll pay for that.
And that benefits everyone. Lady yeah. Gaga sales will go up, Madonna's will go up, Nirvana's will go up, Weird Al's will go up. If they want to do Canadian Idiot from Green Day, Pretty Fly for a Rabbi yeah. from The Offspring, Coolio, Amish Paradise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude.
White Nerdy, whoever.
Chamillionaire?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chamillion.
Whatever his name is, I don't know. I don't know who the artist is. I know yeah. White Nerdy.
Lord, yeah. Aluminum Foil, dude. There's so, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Weird Al. God, I love him. All right.
I'm glad that he survived out of everything.
Absolutely, dude.
I don't think that without MTV, he would have made it at all. Ever.
No, he's the
he waves the MTV flag. Like, like the flagpole's coming out of his ass, literally. Like, without MTV, we would not have had Weird Al.
Wow.
How and was that?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think we got our point across that we're what we grew up on
yeah.
is different from what's going on today on MTV. MTV was a totally different beast back growing up, you know. So, of course, nowadays you can go on YouTube and you can find
anything from anyone.
Yeah, the past TV shows that we talked about, Google search it, Wikipedia it. I'm sure you'll find it, and go back. And if you're like us. You grew up with that kind of stuff. Just go back and
find it.
Yeah, listen to it. Before I was recording, we're on YouTube and we're like watching like different intros to different TV shows. Like, yeah. Oh, I remember those. You know, I guess we can say thank you MTV for being.
Thanks for the memories.
Yeah, too bad you died about 10 years ago. So anyway, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully, you enjoyed this little rewind. Back to the good old days of MTV. And again, you can always catch us on iTunes. Just do a search, Pop Culture Rewind. Click the subscribe button. Give us a review. Go on iTunes and
yeah.
rate us, review us. Tell us what you think.
If you like the show, you can thank me. If you hate it, you can blame Travis.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Chris. if you have that, you can, again, facebook.com/popculturerewind.
Suggestions. And feel free to give us suggestions. Somebody suggested a toy episode that we're thinking about, that we're pulling out somehow. We're figuring.
That's going to be. I've got to have to wind down what I can talk about on toys because I can go off. That would be like a two-parter at least for me.
I got to be an opus. Yeah. Episode 7. Toys, part 5. Action figures. Part 6, things with wheels. Part 7, things you comb.
Part 8, mitten box as opposed to loose.
Part 9, atomically correct.
Anatomically
correct.
Part 10, correcting Chris.
No, part 10, literally correct.
Wow. Okay, so, and also, what'd I say, Twitter? What was that?
Oh, twitter.com/popculturerwnd.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can go straight to our website, which is popculturerewind.podbean.com.
Yes.
But if you go to Facebook and Twitter, I always have links up there anyway. So, or the, of course, the iTunes has a live RSS feed on that. So, anyway, thanks again for tuning in, folks. We'll be back with some other crazy topics like what we talked about today. So, thanks again for listening to us. Catch you next time. And always remember to always pop your culture.
Off to Never Never Land.
You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money.